Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
What a week.
Here we are.
Journalists added to the group chat to bomb Yemen.
I know. An editor in chief at that.
A huge week for editors everywhere.
Yeah.
Never felt more important, I'm sure.
It feels like it should be much bigger than it is.
I know. Well, it's like Hillary's emails pale in comparison to this.
Yes. These were war plans.
War plans.
That were followed through on.
Dropped in the chat.
Yeah.
Hey, girls, let's all get together and plan an airstrike this weekend. Is everyone free?
To think that things like that are just being chatted about. Anyone could be added. Yeah. Like where gamers go to chat.
How are you feeling? What's been going on?
I am coming off of a harrowing period. I'm gonna tell you up front.
All right.
I was on my hands and knees crying.
Which what?
Humbles you. Do you know? And I mean, we were just speaking about pain and how when you're really in a lot of pain, there is a bit of it where I'm almost laughing, where I'm like, oh my God, like I'm in so much pain. I could scream.
Are you talking about physical pain or
physical
emotional
pain? Physical pain.
What is going on with you?
I mean, I think endometriosis.
Fuck.
I know.
That's not what you need.
This was not like, like the cramps have really hit me. This was like, I am yelping and I can't really see straight. And there was no relief for me.
Wait, so what is Steven doing in moments like these?
He is getting me water. He's getting me tea. He's getting me food. He's drawing me a bath. Terrified. Looking around going like,
you're a cow in labor at this point.
Yeah, I felt I was laboring. I labored for 6 hours.
Oh my God, I never put that together. That's why it's called labor, because it's work.
Yeah.
Non-stop work.
Non-stop work. Your body is working.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I have to start taking my Chinese herbs. I have to do a million things.
I know many friends who've had success on the Chinese herbs.
Really?
God, they taste disgusting.
They so bad.
Worse than grass.
Yeah. Dirt mixed with sand. That's the taste. Like coal.
Well, I've been through some emotional pain.
Oh my God.
That I was coming off of last week and discussed on this pod.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, the response has been...
Oh my God.
It's fulfilled me. I feel enriched. I feel enlightened.
I
can't believe how much the echoes have like rallied to lift me up. I was telling the story again last night and I forgot one of the darker details of the whole exchange, which I felt like I had to come back on and share. Halfway through, we're having this hang, him and I, and he has told me at this point, like, the content's bad, give it up. He picked up his phone. Did I say this on the pod or just to you?
No, you said it.
Just to you.
On the Patreon.
Oh, I said it on the Patreon.
You did.
Well, I said it again at dinner last night. I was like telling someone and she was like, that has made the whole thing so much worse.
Yes, yes.
That has made the whole thing so much worse. For the uggos who haven't subscribed to the Patreon, please do. This guy, halfway through the meeting, just like reached for his phone. No caveat. No, like, 1 second, let me just shoot off a quick text. Or sorry, I'm just going to reply to this. Picked up his phone. And for 2.5 to 3 minutes, not a word was said. It was dead air, silence.
So long.
I stared into the abyss because I couldn't possibly like pick up my phone because he hadn't done the necessary etiquette, which was the caveat of being like, 1 second, hold on, hold tight.
Yeah.
In which case I would have picked up my phone and also, you know, checked my email. Instead, I thought at any moment his phone is going to be put back down and we're going to carry on this conversation. And it was not. It just continued to hang. And so I stared off. Eventually, I did pick up my phone because there was nothing else to do. And then the conversation continued.
Oh my God.
But it
God.
Really was a portrait of true dismay from start to finish. That was just the throwaway part that I forgot last week that I feel like really painted the picture.
No, I remember when you mentioned that detail that I said, all right, well, that tells you everything. It's like, it's all there. The writing's on the wall.
The writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
I should have read it written.
No. And as you said, this happened like in the middle of it all. We just don't know who people are always.
No.
You know, you can sit before someone and get it right and then get it wrong and then get it right and then get it wrong. It's like, you know, we're ever evolving. Sometimes it's just hard to gauge.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, you know a straight man when he walks up. you can clock that man pretty quick. Sometimes they have dimensions that are beyond our immediate scope, yeah. but not often.
No.
I saw a 5'7" adult male redhead and thought, okay, some trauma has happened here.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to bear the brunt of it.
Yeah.
And boy, did I ever.
Mm-hmm. You putting on the little, your little armor, getting ready, clipping on your sword, knowing there won't be time to use it.
Realizing that I am already inches taller than him. I'm towering over him. It's yeah. not a good start for either of us, no, frankly.
No.
And I'm about to be put in my place.
Yeah.
But this is all to say, what an amazing reaction from my team out there.
Oh my God, I feel kissed by angels. And it leads me into my inspiration for this week.
Okay.
Which, if I may be so bold as to say, is myself.
Oh, please.
But it's not really myself. It's more that I have seen really full throttle, and this is something I don't normally do, but what happens when you ask for help? What you ask for help with no apologies or no like explanations of like, this will be the last time. Like, yeah. I'm really sorry. I don't mean to impose.
It's a one-off favor.
It's a one-off favor. Like if you have a moment, no rush, whenever is convenient, but just truly letting it hang in the air of like, hey, I'm wondering if I could have your help, please. Or like, I need help with something. I need help with this.
I think you did that to me today.
I did.
And I said, of course.
I did. And of course. And I feel very moved by the responses. Like people moving mountains for no reason really other than just like that I asked.
Yeah.
Some like dear friends, some colleagues that I admire very much, some just like people I barely know. And I've asked for help. I've asked for help a lot this week.
And it's working.
It's working. And I think Whoa. It was because of the horrid period. It was like because there was so much that I couldn't do. I just had to ask Stephen. Can you?
You mean while you were in labor?
While I was in labor, yeah. I'm like, you need to get me water, and then you need to get me a fresh clementine, and then you need to get me hot chocolate.
And I'm not going to do anything for you in return.
Oh my God, no.
There's nothing coming back your way.
No, and sort of that thing, do you know when like you have a guard up where you're like, okay, I can ask someone for another drink, but after that I'm like on my own? You know, there comes a point where you're like, I can't possibly be asking for more than this. I've crossed the line. I'm not going to be like, whoa. Another?
Right.
Can you make me another thing? And I crossed that line with a smile on my face. I said, I'm asking for everything. Feels like a good habit.
You are someone that fights through the weeds alone. You just kind of like, you rip through it as much as you can because you don't want to be a burden to anyone. But you're really just burdening yourself.
Exactly.
Like we're all here.
Yeah, I know. And like corner. Willing.
And willing. No, that was actually a lesson I learned at home recently where two different friends brought up instances that I had like helped them and I had no memory of it, which I think is just a testament to the fact of like the people that you are requiring help of, it's not really going to stay with them.
Yeah.
Unless you go on to kind of really fuck them off for some reason and then you're yeah. like, why are you, the amount of times that I have
exactly.
come to your rescue.
Oh my God. It is true. You as the receiver, I mean, it was, I think, like 7 minutes to ceremony time at my wedding. And I was kind of crashing. Like, I'd been up since obviously 7 a.m. There's like hair, makeup, parents, everything, a million things, photos, full shoot, all the things. And I was like, oh my God, like I have to like go out there right now.
Yeah.
And I sent a text. I said, can someone get me a yerba mate? And one arrived for me. They like ran by to grab one at a gas station on their way to the ceremony, like sort of like cut around the corner to the backstage area, handed me a yerba mate that I sipped and finished with exactly enough time to like step out and walk down the aisle.
That's the bride card.
I know.
And you got to play it. You got to play the bride card. You got to play the birthday card. Oftentimes you got to play the woman in labor card.
Yeah.
But like we are so afraid of playing the cards in our hands. Very few times can you just cash in. And in moments like that, you absolutely can. And I'm someone also like on a birthday doesn't want to be like, can I have the yerba mate?
Yeah.
But it's like, just do it. Ask for what you want.
Oh my God, for one day.
For one day.
Is that
day.
So tough?
Get over yourself.
100%. And it's sort of delightful. It's delightful that people get to do that and that we get to do that for them.
Yeah, completely.
What a gift.
I'm right there with you. I have been going through more of a vortex of emotion with something else. I am undergoing a legal wedding ceremony very mm-hmm. soon.
So exciting.
I say it like that because I'm not engaged. And if anyone can put two and two together based on my accent, mm-hmm. then you probably understand what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I say this because I live in fear.
Yeah, of course.
Of the institution at hand.
Yes.
And my little wedding suit arrived And I put it on and I was like, love, love. And then I promptly proceeded to have a panic attack.
Oh my God, Carrie Bradshaw in the...
I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Get it off. Get it off. Get it off. I realized that I was doing a lot of things. How do you say? Rebelling. Like rebellious teenage phase. In the period that my wedding suit arrived, Chris went out of town and I was home alone. I went out to the club two nights in a row dancing. You were there for one of them. Yep. You can attest.
God, it was fun.
We saw Cole Sprouse that night.
I know.
We saw
someone else.
Landon Barker that night, yeah. I want to say. Yeah, they were all out.
At Old Tenants.
Old Tenants. Never disappoints.
No.
But I went back the following night and I was out and I was dancing. I was like, and not to recommend this at all, but like barely eating. Usually I'm like a 3 square meal a day type of person. Yeah. I'm like, get that 120 grams of protein. I was like, fuck the protein. I'm going to have an espresso martini.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. I started dreaming about travel. I would be like in St. Lucia one night.
Really?
Yes. And I would always be with guys from my past. Not guys that I'd had like any romantic things with, but just people, like guys were there.
Fascinating.
And I woke up one morning and I turned to Chris and I said, I am freaking out and I know it.
Yeah.
I know it.
This is what it looks like.
This is what it looks like. I am feeling like a bird in a cage. I've never like looked forward to a ring or a proposal. Mm-hmm. The idea of marriage has never like thrilled me so. I've never like craved that stability. So the institution has really felt like thrust upon me. As opposed to chosen, I think because I'm not engaged and not having the traditional proposal process, I don't have the traditional processing process. Yeah.
It's like how divers get the bends if they come up too soon. It's like you have to go into the chamber and acclimate and like get your body used to what's going on.
Perfect analogy. That's exactly. I am in the
bends. You have the bends.
I'm in the bends. Yeah. About the wedding bend.
Yeah.
I went through a full roller coaster of emotion week and I kind of turned to Chris and I was like, I think I'm kind of freaking out. And he just goes, let me know what you want to do. And I was kind of like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? And then I really just got over it.
Yeah.
I got better.
Well, that's really what it is about. I'm realizing, I think sort of life, everything, it's sort of how can we sit with discomfort?
Yes.
What can we learn from discomfort? And understanding that these feelings are meant to move through us. And they will in due time, like if you just let them. But if you try to stop them, if you try to be like, no, I can't be feeling like this, it's not good, then the panic doubles and triples and quadruples.
And all you can do is put everything in place. Like I've written the prenup with ChatGPT. It's ready to be signed by the notary public. Like everything is set up.
Yeah.
Should anything go awry, like I'm ready, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
So it's really like I don't have to worry about it. It is just, it's a shock to the system, I think. And even though I know that this for me doesn't mean, you know, a real celebration, a real commitment moment, per se.
Everyone you know in a room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we declare our love. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like the legality of it really settled into my bones for a second there. And I was like, I'm too young for this.
I know.
I'm just a child.
I know.
But it was actually really interesting because it put me back in a zone. I mean, it happened just to coincide that Chris was out of town, but it put me in a zone of like, oh my God, I'm not taking care of myself. Mm. I'm surviving on like caffeine and mezcal rocks. Like I had a croissant today and one chicken tender. It honestly felt liberating in that way.
Oh yeah.
I was like, no one's looking over my shoulder. Chris is out. No one is checking on what food I'm eating. I don't have to check if they're hungry.
Yeah.
It's freedom. And for that moment, I was infinite for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, God, what a mind fuck.
It is. Oh my God, it is. I mean, it's funny that you can have these little snippets that remind you of like a younger self.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, anytime I take a can of tuna out of the pantry to make myself a little, you know, forbidden lunch of canned tuna mixed with some mayonnaise.
Forbidden lunch.
Yeah, forbidden lunch. I say, oh my God. Hi. There you are, 21-year-old me.
She's back.
It's good to see you. You don't have to tell anyone about this.
Have you seen those trends where it's like, I didn't have to say one word and you knew.
Okay, let's say it at the same time.
Okay, yeah.
How do they make you feel? Wait, no.
I was going to quote the trend.
The trend?
Okay, should we explain the trend?
Yeah.
Not everyone is as telepathic as we are.
No.
The trend is like, I met my younger self for coffee. She had an iced matcha latte. I had an Americano black. We laughed about how far we'd come.
Mine, I think, do you know, would yours be, is that yours?
No. I was just simply like quoting. Yeah.
Those ones I had a tough time with. Okay. There was something about them that was tough for me. But I think maybe it's also because mine maybe would be the same. It's like, I met my younger self for coffee. We both were 30 minutes late and we both ordered pumpkin spice lattes. It's like,
you would be like, the lack of evolution and growth here like, is really panic inducing.
Oh my God. Well, I guess there are some things, but in our day to day at a coffee shop, none of that's coming through. That's all private. It's all.
I mean, I used to have a milkier coffee. I'll give my older self that.
Yeah.
You know, all that
little
dairy.
Pussy bitch. Dumping coffee, dumping milk.
God. But no, I mean, we are pretty unchanged.
Yeah.
I think back to my younger self and it was pretty more or less similar.
Yeah. I think Lady Gaga said it best when she said, we were born this way. I think I've kind of been who I am
forever.
Since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I know not everybody feels like that is the thing. I meet people who are like, oh my God. Like, I've gone through phases for sure. But I think sort of at my core, I'm interested in the same things now that I was interested in when I was four.
There's something really powerful in that. It's a nature over nurture realm we're stepping into here. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe in it.
Do you know if you were an easy baby or were you like a cryy baby?
Fine baby.
Fine baby.
Psycho toddler.
Really?
Great teen. You know that saying?
No.
Terrible toddler, great teen and vice versa.
I've
great
heard
toddler,
that.
Bad teen.
That makes sense.
That was you probably, right?
I mean, I didn't really rebel at all as a teen.
Yes, you did. You were out drinking.
But no one ever knew about that. Like, never. My parents didn't know ever that I went to a party. I was never caught. I was completely under the radar and never got in trouble.
Did your parents know when you were losing your virginity?
We had a family meeting.
Incredible. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, it was after. So I didn't tell them before. But my mom asked me point blank in the kitchen one day, maybe like a month or two after it had happened. She was like, have you and your boyfriend had sex? And I said, in that moment, I had 1 second where I was like, do I lie? Do I just say like, no? Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to. And I just said, yes. And she said, what? And I said, yes, we have. And she freaked out, called my dad in the room, called my sisters into the room and was like, we need to talk about this. Like, why didn't you come to me? Like, and I was like, you know, we've discussed this before in the hypothetical. I understand that this is like now we're more tangible, but we did and it was great. And I love him and he loves me and it was lovely. And I think
was it really lovely?
I mean, it was painful.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was Radiohead playing.
Oh, so it was the setting.
It was
right.
The Super Bowl.
Oh.
You know, so my parents were at a Super Bowl party at it. Like, we had the house
romance.
To ourselves.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I lay down blankets on the ground. I put my Murphy bed up.
Wait, what do you mean? You couldn't be on a bed?
The bed was really, really creaky. Like, it was the kind of thing where, like, if you, like, put one arm on it, it was like, so I was like,
that can't be.
I'm not going to do this. So. Yeah. I said that and then my mom was like, oh my God. And then she asked my sisters like what they thought of all this and they were like, we think it's amazing. Like we support her 100%. We think this is awesome.
God, they have always been like that with you. That is crazy.
They had my back and then there was kind of like no further questioning.
I've thrown my sister to the wolves on so many occasions.
Oh my God. We have sort of like mob rules. It's like no one talks.
Wow.
We'd sooner die than throw someone under the bus. One.
And I think that's because there's three of you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Two, it is kind of every man for himself.
Oh, for sure. It's like the dynamics are ever shifting at any moment. It's like someone's friends with someone's two against this person. And
yeah.
So it's always moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tessellating.
No
is what
stagnation there.
No.
No. Did your parents know?
No, because I was old.
Yeah.
I was 20 and I was in Bali. They would never know.
Yeah.
Although my mom did walk me down the beach when I was like 19 and tell me it was okay if I was a lesbian.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
What did you tell her?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my sister was in her head because she was like, Beatrice is not dating. But I had a lot of kind of like traumatizing experiences with sexually active members of my household early on when I was, you know, in my youth. And I think that really like pushed me into prudishness.
Oh my God.
I was really like kind of Spider-Man against the wall trying to dodge all the things that were coming my way, you know?
Yeah.
Vibrators and the like.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Not so traumatic.
Not my personal sexual trauma.
Okay, great.
But
great,
it was traumatic for me.
I was like, let me hold space for this.
Me reaching out for the finger.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Let's give me the finger. Yeah. No. It was, you know, just the classic run-ins that a lot of people have, but I think they impacted me more than most.
Yeah.
I really just shimmied into my little hole, no pun intended, and was like, I'm never coming out of here.
No.
I used to like see all these boys and never sleep with them. I don't know how I kept it going for so long. Like I started like seeing my neighbor when I came home from university, who was like 10 years older than me, and building the house next to us.
Oh my God.
Nicholas Sparks.
I was going to say, that's a romance.
It was crazy. It would sneak into his house he was living in. It was just a structure.
Oh my God.
It was
just like. So you walked into his house, really?
Yes, he walked into his house, walked straight in through the walls.
Yeah.
And he just had like a bed and it was like open stars and he had like a makeshift kind of bathroom situation and that was it. And I don't know how I got away with that. But I remember one time him being like, have you ever made a sex tape? And I was like, well,
one or two.
Funny you should ask. It got so far with not ever having sex with any of them. Like, I don't know what I was doing that whole time.
Were you kissing?
Yeah, you were doing everything else.
Of course.
You were doing everything else. Which is so crazy.
Yeah.
I think I just also was really traumatized by the New Zealand culture, which I believed it might have been totally projected. If you slept with anyone, they had some sort of like claim on you. I just felt like they'd be like, oh, see, like that girl or like Beatrice Hayes. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I like fucked her. Yeah. It made my skin crawl to think about that because I don't like to be trapped. Oh, it's coming all
around. Oh my God. That's it.
Wow.
That's what it is.
I like, yeah, don't like
you.
Like,
someone puts you in a little cubby.
Someone puts
And then
me,
you live there.
Jasmine with the chains.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jafar, let me go.
Yeah.
I can't. It's my claustrophobia. It's like everything starts to come into play. Whoa.
Wow.
I think I just had a breakthrough.
Yeah, that really sounds like one. It's that makes so much sense. Consider this. It's like, oh, who's that? That's Chris's wife.
No.
I know.
No.
I know.
Like, imagine being like Lauren Sanchez out there right now.
I know.
Jeff Bezos's girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez.
Well, when Steven brings me home food from
Chris's
his work.
Chris's wife.
Oh, that's Chris's wife over there.
You know, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's gonna be fine. No, when Steven brings me home food from work, they write Mrs. Steven on the bag. Mrs. Steven.
I'm gonna call you that from now on. Mrs. Steven is so funny.
And Mrs. Chris sitting down to record our little podcast. Hands way down by the diamonds.
Uncover Mrs.
Oh my God.
Wow. Something just really clicked for me. I don't know what it is about commitment. I had the shortest university degree. I was like, this is too. I didn't make it through all of high school.
No, I graduated college in 3 years.
What is this?
Yeah.
Let's look deeper.
Let's look deeper.
Let's put a pin in that.
Yeah. We'll start this up again next week.
I hope someone is out there relating to me.
I'm right here and I'm relating to
you. Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay.
But speaking of
a free spirit,
an untethered, I guess, actually.
I think she's very tethered in all parts of her life.
Actually.
She's got a baby, a business.
A boyfriend. A barn.
She's got all the bees that you could possibly have that keep you locked down. Gigi Hadid. A supermodel of a time, one of the earliest Instagram models as we've come to know them. You know, the Kendall Jenners, the Bellas, the Barbara Pelvins, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
All these girls who popped off in a selfie and then graced all the runways around the world.
I will say that I don't think anyone on earth has ever looked better than her at the Jacques Mousse show where she's wearing that white dress.
Doesn't do it for me. With the hair flip. Yeah, it doesn't, not at all. She's never done it for me. Wow. I'm a Bella girl. You know how beauty has to kind of like, that's why it's truly in the eye of the beholder. It has to like resonate. It has to proliferate. It's not enough just to be. It has to exude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what has missed me with Gigi. Beauty for me is like so all encompassing. A lot of stars have to align for it to just like, Ana de Armas. I'm like, All centers are firing.
Yeah.
I'm getting it on all fronts.
I know. She is one of the people that, like, seeing her in person, I gasped.
Oh my God, where did you see her?
I interviewed her and Chris Evans together.
Of course.
I know.
The infamous interview. How could I forget?
And I really did sit down and I went, you know, air catching in the throat of like, you are stunning.
That happened to me with Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
I think that's only happened to me with Anne and with Ashley Graham.
Yeah.
And no one else really. And I've interviewed some beautiful people like Cara Delevingne.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way, even though stunning. Like, they're all beautiful, but they're like all human in that way. But like, there was something about those two that I was like, something different is happening. Like, yeah. Something different is happening. I saw Anne Hathaway compared to LeBron James the other day of like the GOAT of being hot for like 20, 25 years.
That's so true.
Yeah, still in the game.
That's really hard to do.
Still in the game.
Yeah. And like possibly at the peak now.
You know that my best and possibly only asset is my hair.
Oh my God, we can't go anywhere without you getting compliments.
Only because of the Megastar flat iron from New Me. I'm telling you, dude, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to throw some brands out. I used to be a GHD girl. I used to be a Harry Josh girl. I am only...
Chi?
What?
A Chi girl.
I used to be a Chi girl too.
Yeah, I know.
From now on, I'm only a New Me girl. I'm only a New Me Megastar flat iron girl. I'm telling you, it's the tourmaline technology, if you haven't heard of that, neither had I. It locks in moisture as it passes through your hair. So your hair doesn't get dry. It doesn't get fried. You can still control the heat.
And the infrared light strip prevents damage.
Oh, yeah.
Which is huge. So you can straighten as much as you want without having to worry about frying your ends.
This is an ad, but I'm being so genuine. This is such a good product.
Oh, and you're not the only one. I mean, it has 4.9 stars and 28,000 reviews.
28,000 You're in good company. I know that you have an old rusty straightener right now and you need an upgrade, and this is it. You can get 15% off the Megastar flat iron with the code UNCOVER. N-U-M-E hair.com with the code UNCOVER. Yeah, I gotta say though, like if you are keeping it tight, I think in the 30s, late 30s, 40s, you're gonna be, it's set for life at that point. Yeah. You're good forever.
Yeah.
24, it could go either way. It could go any which way. 29, still we're up in the air. 39 and you're looking chef's kiss?
That's so true.
You're gonna look good forever.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
At 50, you're gonna look 39.
Yeah.
At 60, you're going to look 49.
Yeah.
It's just going to continue.
Mm-hmm. 80, anyway. 21.
21.
Yeah.
That's when it all starts again.
Yeah.
Benjamin Button style.
Exactly.
Chloe Sharma wrote this profile that appeared in Vogue. Well, actually, it's coming out next month. It's hitting stands. But hit the digiweb last week, I want to say. We're fresh. We're fresh with this one. And we wanted to do this as kind of a Vogue back-to-back, a Gal Gadot, Gigi Hadid, opposing views on Israel-Palestine back-to-back, even though this writer doesn't really bring up Palestine. I think it's a missed opportunity.
I know. I will say she was so sweet to me, this writer.
She seems lovely.
She is absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
The most well-read person, like recommended me a book that like changed my life, kind of like all the classic stories of like being a young writer talking to a more experienced writer. She was so, so sweet.
Well, she's a senior editor at Vogue. She covers various topics, movies, television, music, books. She also worked at Elle magazine and has contributed to like the New York Sun, The Guardian. And she authored her own book, Wild Romance, A Victorian Story of Marriage, A Trial, and a Self-Made Woman. And she's even pursued a Master in Philosophy and Culture and Criticism at the University of Cambridge, which is amazing. She's pretty well-rounded. It's really impressive.
Yeah, it comes through when you talk to her.
Oh, I can imagine.
Like smart, 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 smart.
We're in 2025. We're in March. What is happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, mama, it is tariffs galore.
Yeah.
The 25% tariff just hit the auto industry. Obviously, the Signal group chat breach, you know, went hand in hand with the intensified airstrikes on Yemen. So could have maybe seen that coming. And this whole Rachel Zegler business with Snow White.
I'm confused. And I'm hearing that Ben Platt's father's flying to like rein her in. And
well, it's like, he accused her of like destroying.
Yeah. Like the reason the movie isn't doing well.
Yeah. It's because of her political views.
Yeah.
And then she put out a tearful kind of statement on Instagram.
It's all tough. It's all tough.
I mean, we would play it, but we frankly can't sit through it. It's really what's going on there.
No. And I also just am confused how it would still be controversial to say, fuck Donald Trump. Like, I don't support.
So is that what she said?
Yeah, I think it was like an anti-Donald Trump sentiment, which is confusing because Patti LuPone was like a lead in one of Disney's biggest franchises. And every red carpet interview you can find her in, she's like, this piece of shit. Like, I can't believe what he's doing. Like, we've blown it as a country, you know. I guess the rules are different when you're young.
When you're young, I think also, but it's like, this wouldn't be happening, I don't think, to like Jenna Ortega. There's something about the fact that Rachel Ziegler is already disliked.
Mm-hmm.
Like the power that various celebrities wield is different. But there's something about like Rachel Ziegler. It's the musical theater thing. It's like the fact that like a lot of fans are like up in arms. It was the fact that her casting to begin with made a lot of people angry. There's just a lot of like conflicting things that I feel like have riled people up more than normal.
I know. And do you remember the Oscars thing? It's like she like went public to say that she wasn't invited to the Oscars. That's despite right. West Side Story being nominated. But it was because she was, I believe, filming Snow White and like was disallowed from leaving set, which does happen. Like celebrities don't all go to the Oscars. Some celebrities like have commitments that make it so that they can't attend.
Yeah. No, I remember that. And that was also like, okay, we're saying the quiet part out loud and I don't know if we should in this moment.
Yeah.
Like no one is guaranteed an invite to the Oscars, even if they are in an Oscar nominated movie, if they haven't themselves been nominated.
Yeah.
It would be one thing if she wasn't invited as a nominee. Otherwise it's like,
yeah. But also because they really put the celebrities to work. It's like if they're not nominated, they're often presenting.
Yeah.
They have to go up there and do a little bit with their friend. And
she did end up presenting.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, she got it in the end.
Yeah.
But enough about her.
Yeah.
We're on to Gigi Hadid, who was born Jelena Hadid in 1995. She is actually about to celebrate her 30th birthday.
Of course.
Huge for her, stepping into a new decade. And she grew up in Malibu, famously. Appearing on, of course, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But she is the daughter of Mohammed Hadid, who is a luxury real estate developer. And her mother, Yolanda, is a former model and reality TV star, obviously. And my God, she has just never had kind of an off day with modeling. She started with Baby Yes and was just on her way up from there. I think it was a couple years after she made her New York Fashion Week debut and appeared in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issue that she was awarded International Model of the Year by British Fashion Council, which is the highest honor.
Yeah.
Alex Kinsani just got it. So it's kind of like she was just made for this. The industry has kind of been obsessed with her out the jump. I mean, there was a lot of discourse about her body early on. I think she had like a sexier, more athletic body, which is why Sports Illustrated kind of like jumped on her. But then Donatella Versace ushered her into the high fashion world. And from that moment, she didn't leave. She was supermodel Gigi.
Yeah.
So
I grew up watching her on Real Housewives. I remember the early season, seeing her
as a volleyball player, only allowed to eat one almond.
Exactly. And then I remember seeing her like go to her first like modeling appointment. And I remember being like, oh my God, this is so glam. I'm obsessed.
Did you think she was stunning, gorgeous, perfect?
I did. Yeah, I was like, oh shit, I think she's going to make it.
And what did you think of Bella back then?
Nothing much.
Yeah, I know. That's how a lot of people felt, I think. The headline reads, "The Many Lives of Gigi Hadid." And it takes us immediately to Pennsylvania, opening like this. You can drive 90 minutes from New York City and feel as though you've never left. Same restaurants, same people, same conversations, same outfits. And then you can drive 90 minutes from Manhattan and feel like you're in a different country. There might be a few gourmet markets and inns with minimalist sans serif signs, but on the January day I visited Gigi Hadid in rural Pennsylvania. The only notable landmark I see anywhere near her home is a humble gas station. So it's kind of setting the scene. We are not in Beverly Hills anymore, baby. She has escaped to the countryside. She is like living like a Disney princess. She's tall, slender, makeup free. Chloe describes dressed in Nike sweatpants and her cashmere knitwear line guest in residence. And this is the middle of January, so it's snowing. They bought this converted lavender farm in 2017. And when she moved out there, it was just basically to escape like the onslaught of paparazzi every single day. They were waiting outside her apartment in New York. Chloe's like, this is kind of where they seem made to be. I mean, we know that Gigi and Bella are horse girls and we're so used to seeing them now, like digging in the garden and like riding their stallions. And this has also been the backdrop for Gigi's daughter's life, her early life. She's now 4.
I really can't imagine the dissonance that her daughter, when she grows up, knowing that she had this like really peaceful, sweet, like hands in dirt at all times, and then knowing what her mom was like up to.
It comes up, but Gigi actually describes herself as Hannah Montana. She's like, I am living a double life.
That's so cute.
I'm like in New York, like on set with the biggest photographers in the industry. And then I'm home in the field, in the ground with my daughter. And you're right. It's going to be a massive shock to the system.
Like, how would you even wrap your head around that? I hear people freak out when they're like, I found out that my mom smoked cigarettes in the 90s. And it's like, of course she did. Of course she did.
Yeah.
This is a whole different story.
And also, like, the fame that's going to meet her as being this daughter of a pop star and a supermodel.
I know.
Very famous people from 2015.
Very famous. Yes.
But Gigi's been really direct about the toll it takes to be famous. She's like, it got to a place where I'd have 3 days off and I would stay inside for 3 days. And that's very intense. And her bodyguard used to have to like sneak her out to the beach so she would have time away from the city, because she literally would just stay at home at all times. And she just was barraged by endless comments about her body, whether she was too heavy or she had an eating disorder. They would say she was dressed like a slob or she looked overworked. She says, I was called every name in the book. And that is how she found Pennsylvania. She called Yolanda and was like, I need somewhere to go. And I mean, they've been together for no more than 20 minutes at this point, her and Chloe. And Gigi's already crying talking about this.
I know.
I learned the hard way, she says, of the access that she offered people early in her career. There were times in the beginning where I gave too much. And Chloe brings up a really salient point here. She's like, it's kind of easy to forget how long we have known Gigi. We have known her since she was a leggy teenage volleyball player stalking through her mother's kitchen in the background of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. This quote, I didn't even really know those women. Was really funny. I know. Really peels back the curtain. A career in modeling or like fame was always inevitable. She booked her first job when she was 2 years old, even though like her mother was like, don't, you can't go into modeling until you're 18. You know, get into all these other things, sport and school and friends and musical theater. Her career just exploded as soon as she started. She decided to go to the New School in Manhattan and then spent a month in London doing test shoots. And then as an undergraduate, she studied criminal psychology. So it's interesting because for most kids, the careers that she has on the table as options,
I know,
are completely out of reach. So yeah. She was like, I had various interests as a child that were beyond modeling. One of which was being a pro volleyball player. One of which was being a criminal psychologist or criminal investigator. One of which was being a chef because I loved the Food Network. Is there going to be a normal kind of like a marketing consultant thrown in there?
I know. I mean, you've seen the interview of Kendall Jenner also being like, what would you do if you weren't modeling? And she's like, I think I'd be competing in the Olympics for horseback riding.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right.
Not a florist?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
I know. And she says that culinary school actually like still is a possibility.
Yeah.
Who knows what she'll do after this?
Who knows?
Yeah.
The options are endless.
They are. They are.
When you got those resources, baby.
I know. But I do really admire her for, at the earliest stage of her career, fighting against a young agent that she was given at IMG. She was like, I don't feel like I'm being taken seriously. Like, I want someone higher up.
And she gets assigned this kind of young whippersnapper agent who's just really there to accompany her to parties. And then she was like, wait, I feel like I need someone more real. Meets this guy, Luis Matos, who I remember seeing in all their photos back in the day. He was always on Instagram. He sits her down and like was like, okay, let's talk about our goals for the next 5 years. And she was like, you think I can do this? You think I can get this cover, this brand, this runway show? And he's just like, I know you can. From that moment on, her career just accelerated. Donatella Versace was an early champion. Versace saw something in Gigi that helped launch the models of the 90s. And I mean, this is a big quote. We get Donatella here as a secondary source. She says, the supers were defined by their individuality, their personality, their strength. Gigi, for me, has that same spirit.
I would agree.
Can't imagine a higher compliment.
No. Like, she is a perfect Victoria's Secret model, but she's also a perfect Versace model. Like, it makes sense to me.
She just considers herself as the right girl for the right, like, vibe shift of a moment. When the culture was moving away from, like, untouchable, all too perfect models, she happened to be, like, having fun on the New York circuit, posting photos, being cute, crazy, with a filter on. And yeah. It couldn't have been more serendipitous. And then as her modeling career kind of went on, she was like, okay, what's next for me? Like, where am I going to go from here? And oh my God, I've been having this conversation constantly with friends of mine, where we're talking about models that we knew that were really big when we were living in New York, or like even models now that have been really successful, like the Barbara Palvins, we're kind of like, what are they going to do? Like, the shelf life of that career is so short. It is like being an athlete.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, the career uncertainty that they're facing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I've been having this exact conversation. So Hadid was like, a couple of years back, what am I going to do next? She decided to host Netflix's reality show Next in Fashion with her friend Tan France. Oh my God, I'm really struggling with my accent at the moment. Tan France. Jesus Christ. I'm losing it.
You're getting ready to be an American citizen.
Oh God. Tan was like, I absolutely knew she nailed it, like, from the get-go. She has such a professionalism. The other thing that is really impressive, Chloe notes, is that she is very quiet and thoughtful the way she moves. So when she launched her first business, Guest in Residence, she didn't do it on her name. She could have coasted fully, like the Gigi Hadid collection.
Yeah.
And she didn't. She created a cashmere line, a niche sector to go into. Yeah. Very high-end, very luxury. And called it a name that, like, no one would necessarily associate with a 20-something supermodel. It is chic. You gotta give it to her.
And the line is chic.
The line is so chic.
Very understated.
Beautiful, beautiful. I did look up the cost.
I mean, cashmere is cashmere.
$890 for a jacket, I want to say. Yeah. It's out of our range, isn't it?
Certainly.
And then we introduce Zayn Malik, Kai's dad, and their co-parenting relationship. They dated for 6 years.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite significant.
Yeah.
And their relationship was obsessed over. People followed with rabid interest. And you can look up the details of what happened when it ended. There was, of course, this kind of alleged physical altercation between Zayn and Yolanda Hadid. Obviously, Vogue doesn't want to get into the gritty details of that here and won't. Now they have shared custody. They go back and forth. It's like 1 week on, 1 week off.
It seems like that.
God, what a kind of a nice way to be a parent.
I have to say, that makes a lot of sense to me. You know, clearly they have lots of respect for each other.
No, they seem to be in a really good place. She describes their phase of partnership as having a lot of love and feeling of camaraderie. She knows that their relationship will forever be under like a microscope. She's like, it's a really hard part of the job knowing that the world knows this much and thinks that they know everything, but we're not interested in giving the whole story. But I just like couldn't get over the fact of like really thinking about it, like 1 week on, 1 week off.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Delightful.
Yeah. Your week off. It's just like, all right, you know, where am I going with my girls?
Where am I going with my girls?
Yeah.
I'm hitting the town. And then I'm so excited to welcome my child back.
Can't wait.
Not a bad life. She doesn't want to be in the club anymore on a Tuesday night. She's really done with that. She's made like local friends at her Mummy and Me classes, which is really cute.
It feels like a really precious kind of friendship where it's like, you know, in college, you're friends with people because you're all in college together.
Right.
And then like, you know, you're friends with coworkers because you all work together. And there's something, I mean, of course you would need friends when you're a mom who are also moms to like talk about the crazy shit with.
I think that's why people literally have children together, because they just like need to be at the same stage of life, holding hands.
Yeah. Touching the bellies.
Otherwise it's like,
imagine you and I
don't.
I actually can't imagine, like, who knows what the future holds for us, but that is one thing I can't see. You and I
will never forget thing where, like, that brief instant when I was pregnant. The way that you responded was crazy. You were like crossing the road with me being like, out the way, everybody, stand clear. She's on the move.
Room for two, please. Protecting you with my life.
But Hadid's like, I'm fully living a double life. I joke with my mom friends that I feel like the Hannah Montana of fashion. If you just met me at a photo shoot, you wouldn't see the full depiction of me. I feel that as a model, I'm a performer, and I don't think that seeing me walk into random places around here screams supermodel.
Sounds fabulous. Could you live like in a farm in the country?
Yes. If I had access to the city like this.
Yeah.
Because California, 90 minutes away. It's really not that close. East Coast, you could do it.
Yeah.
I could do this.
I could do this too.
The most like beautiful, living on a lavender farm with your miniature horses.
I think I could do it. Unlimited money.
Going to New York every week.
Off. Yeah. It's.
Now I think about it, though, it has been an adjustment, like having a baby in the spotlight. She actually wrote an open letter to paparazzi to ask that they obscure Kai's face, because she's like, we didn't grow up walking out of our house thinking, what angle could someone be watching me from? So she didn't want the same thing from Kai. And she's kind of come up against the same conundrum of whether or not to post Kai on social media. She's like, I want to protect her privacy. You know, I don't want to take anything away from her peace. But like, at the same time, it's not genuine to just not post my kids. And I really do think about that with celebrities a lot, because like Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, they be emojiing those kids' faces like nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, is there a reason? Maybe just don't post them then.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to see the cowboy hat emoji
over your son's face.
Over a small child just because it's a nice photo of you.
Yeah.
It confuses me.
I know. And it's clear that Gigi is moving with like a lot of awareness of Kai now, but also Kai in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that is it. It's like the parents who got caught up in the social media of it all.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder like, Heidi and Spencer's kids.
Well, like Paris Hilton's kids. Yeah. You know, the baby with the head.
I think the big part of this is they don't have a say. They don't have agency yet.
No. For example, like say you bring a new boyfriend home and your mom's like, let's get out the baby albums. And you're like, I really don't want them to see that like ugly version of myself when I was like, whatever, 3 months fresh out the womb. It's like that, but on a huge scale.
Yeah.
No control of their own image.
Yeah. That's scary.
It really is. It is. But she's just trying to like assert boundaries over all parts of her life. Chloe asked if she'd ever fully give up Instagram, for example, like give up social media. And she's like, well, no, because like I wouldn't have a career without it. Like it brings me a lot. But at the same time, she's like, my Instagram is like snail mail. If you follow me, you have to be patient. Life has to load, which I think was a really beautiful way of saying that.
Yeah.
She says, it's different from how socials felt when I was younger. It doesn't come as naturally to me as it did when Instagram started. And that is so real.
Yeah, of course.
It was a different time when Instagram started. It was like a different way of interacting with the internet. We were so much more laissez-faire.
Yeah, we were using it differently.
Yeah. And now it's almost the same sentiment, but curated and calculated. So we're like now being calculatedly laissez-faire, which I think for us is like harder.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of millennials can't like shake the perfect veneer that is on each of their profiles.
Like, I know. It's the book on the towel on the beach.
Exactly. The perfectly positioned legs with a thigh gap looking out over the water.
I know.
The three Aperol spritzes in a perfect triangular.
Little pasta on the side.
The boomerangs even.
I know.
Yeah. But she credits therapy for helping her balance her people-pleasing, her hard-working parts of her personality because she really wants to have respect for herself. Now she's getting better and better at saying no. She'll be like, I can't make that job. I have Kai that week. This is where things get kind of interesting. So they go to the deli, pick up sandwiches for lunch, and they start talking about musical theater. Gigi wants to be in musical theater. And if anyone has seen that Hairspray Vogue video, which is very poorly received, mostly because the lead in Hairspray is a plus size woman, famously.
Yeah, the show's sort of about that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And there were no plus size models used in the recreation of Hairspray. You staring down the barrel of the camera as I said that. That was a bit of a shock to the system. And I think it was also like, why is Gigi Hadid taking on this role? And now we kind of know.
Yeah.
Theater for her is like a dream, she almost whispers. And that's scary to say. So Bradley, that's Bradley Cooper, her boyfriend, has been taking her to the theater more. The two of them met at a child's birthday party, like a mutual friend's baby. And that's kind of the only way you can meet someone when you're a public figure. She's like, it's really hard to find anyone to talk to in a romantic capacity. She's like, where do you go? And like, what do you say? And there's that added layer of privacy and security. She says you just have to want to believe that people are going to have your back and not call TMZ or go and do moi or whatever. But you literally just don't know. So now the relationship is very romantic and happy.
Yeah. This is a big deal because they've not spoken in the press about each other. Bradley Cooper, famously private, as we know from the Taffy Broadusser Akner profile. He like does not engage with the sort of like, let me comment on what's going on in my personal life.
Yes.
Area of celebrity. And Gigi doesn't really either.
No.
She's not out on the cover of People.
Never.
Coming forward with something.
It's just so confusing to me because she seems so incredibly grounded. And even the fact that she moved to Pennsylvania to escape the photographers. And you can see Bradley Cooper doing his pep walks.
Yeah.
It's out there. It's documented. You've seen them, right?
I've seen them. And I'm actually looking up to see if they have ones together.
I think he takes her on them, dude.
He takes her on them.
Yeah.
He takes her around town.
Well, this is what is so curious about their relationship. You just kind of wonder if it is for publicity, if he is benefiting from her. I mean, the rumors about Bradley Cooper have been rampant. We won't go into them here.
No.
But they have been around for a very long time, and he has this much younger girlfriend, and they're being photographed a lot, and you have to ask why.
I mean, the open letter to the paparazzi, it's like she is not trying really usually to be photographed.
She's private.
Yeah. It was a big part of the reason she moved to Pennsylvania. It's like, now they can't track me. It's like they're not just waiting outside of my New York apartment for me to come outside.
Right. So why is she with someone with whom she is constantly photographed? Like, and you know as well as I do, paparazzi go where you tell them to.
Yeah. Where they're called.
Where they're called. Let's say.
I know. And he does. And he's been doing them a lot.
His ones are egregious.
Yeah.
He is like,
he's strutting.
He's, well, he is stepping outside his apartment, stopping, waiting.
Yeah.
Taking a beat, walking slowly.
Yeah.
Doing a little turn. I mean, little he's modeling more than she is these days.
I know. It is true.
None of that is addressed, but she does say that she respects him so much as a creative. She describes herself as feeling like very lucky. She says, and I feel that he gives so much to me, encouragement and just belief. For those people you admire to encourage you, it can create so much belief in yourself. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen if I auditioned for this? You just jump and take the leap.
Here's the thing. I love to see a crossover.
An older man with a younger woman?
No, I want to see her in a movie. I want to see what she can do.
Oh, I thought you were going in a different direction.
No, there. No. Like, you know, I'm curious. Kaia Gerber acting, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll be seated.
For Kaia Gerber acting?
Before I saw it. Right, yes. Right. It's like, okay. I'm there. I'm curious. I'm open to the idea that this can happen. You know, Charlie XCX is about to sort of like make her debut. What will happen? Will it be good? Will it be bad? Yes.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I'm on the same page as you. I would like to see, she could really like shake things up.
She goes method.
Oh my gosh, she's the new Jeremy Strong.
Yeah.
But she's really doing well with Guests in Residence. I mean, it is killing it. Chloe visits her on set of her, you know, spring summer collection photo shoot. And the theme is Postcard from Nowhere. And it's really cute. It's very like 60s astronaut themed. She's playing kind of like a housewife, like Mary Tyler Moore character. Very, very cute. The shoot is amazing. Like, we should post it. It's so fun. And the clothes are great too. And she's really in a collaborative role with everyone on her team. Like, this is not like Gigi's brand TM.
Yeah.
She kind of loves this element of it being big, bright, beautiful, over the top. And she kind of took that away from Karl Lagerfeld working on those like Chanel sets. So you know how Karl's kind of signature would be for every runway show for Chanel, he would have a real life beach staged inside the Louvre.
Yeah.
Like, it would be like a supermarket with every product branded Chanel. She was just obsessed with it being a full world that you could step into. And she was like, it just makes you feel like a kid again when you experience this. And I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about seeing those Chanel runways. I found it so titillating. In the same way I feel totally titillated by like a mirror, a couch, and a rug outside.
Oh yeah, completely.
What is it about indoor things outside that just, ooh, it's so good?
It's the same way you feel when you're seeing really great production design in a musical, or like you're at a play and you're like, this is interesting. Like, I'm buying in.
Yep.
I'm immersed. I'm here with you. I see the concept. I see the ideas. You've executed them perfectly. It's interesting when she talked about her seeing being a model as being a performer.
And you talking about that Jacques Mousse moment, I mean, she's addressed that in interviews too. And she's like, yeah, I mean, I walked across the stage. I wanted to show the back of the dress. I flipped my hair around. And then I realized people had seen enough of it. So I flipped my hair back. And so they could see the front. I was just doing my job well.
Yeah. And she did do it well.
And she did do it well.
It was effortless. It's like how everyone thinks they can do a TikTok dance and then they try. And
not
it's
a
like,
soul.
You're not popping it like the girls are popping it.
You
I'm
just
sorry.
Made me do a trend. It didn't come naturally, as you could see.
No. It was great. It was fantastic.
I've never been so produced. You went into a manager.
I really didn't give you an option, I'm realizing. There was no like, maybe later. I was like, ha, sit down.
Yeah, do it right now.
Here, I've downloaded it.
It's because I believe in you.
I know. I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Of course. And I believe in Gigi.
And Gigi is also my age. She's turning 30. Chloe says, certainly no longer a kid. Okay, shots fired, Chloe. Jesus. And she asks Gigi if this new chapter is like a beginning. And for those who are watching the slow roll of her social media feed, Chloe writes, yes, there will be a party. She's thinking about something formal, but maybe with like a camp theme. But Gigi's like, I'm so excited for 30. I feel like a lot of stuff in my career, my relationships, in my life, in my friendships that people maybe normally go through in their 30s, I actually went through in my 20s. And she's also like, after 10 years of doing this job, I'm not nervous anymore. And I have to remember that if I feel scared or intimidated, that means I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, at this point, why not try do more things that scare her?
The movie role is coming. She's put the bat signal into the air.
But I also think that's a read on all of us. It's like,
yeah,
if it is scaring you, run towards it, kind of.
I know.
And it's the hardest thing to do in the world.
I know.
It's so uncomfortable.
I had such a sense for it as a kid and I lost it along the way.
No, we got kind of beaten down.
Yeah.
We met guys like Watson McCullough last week who just tell us it's like not possible. Sorry.
I know. And also there's just like, you know, you feel like you have an audience watching. It's
yes.
Like, yeah.
But if I can say to the Argos, like what that was like worst case scenario, right? If you sit down and think, what is the worst case scenario? Someone could say to your face, you can't do this.
You
give it
should
up.
Be embarrassed.
You should be embarrassed. And like happens to one and it's fine.
And it's fine.
Then it's like, well, what's really stopping you at this point?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You have to climb Cringe Mountain.
Yeah.
To achieve your dreams.
I mean, really, to do anything. Anything worthwhile. You can stay down at the bottom. If you'd like to ascend, it often requires doing something scary, something uncomfortable. Requires a lot of sitting in discomfort.
Yeah. And Gigi is, it feels like, ready to climb. Like, she is on her way up. She's hiking.
The boots are laced.
The pack is on.
Yeah.
She will not be long for the modeling world.
No. Yeah. She's conquered it, really.
This, I felt, was a very interesting question. This is where Chloe kind of leaves it. She asks us if it's ever felt like things were moving a bit too fast for her in her career, but also in becoming a mum. Do you think you had a child too young?
Yeah.
At 26, which, I mean, arguably is a very young age.
Yeah.
And she was like, for a lot of mums, there's this perfect image of what they're supposed to be and how it needs to go. You wake up and do your best and you realize it's enough. And there's a beauty in not necessarily knowing exactly how it's going to go. And she thinks that the same sentiment can be applied to pretty much any various points in one's life, career, relationships, you know, life in general. She was like, I think that's a huge lesson that I needed and probably one of the reasons that Kai came to me. You can't always be in control. You can't always plan. You can look at an experience as the right or wrong time for anything if that's your perspective. Now I just have to give myself the grace and look at how many things I've handled. Step by step, I learned, I got through it.
So practical, so true.
Practical and wiser than I would have expected from her.
Wise.
Yeah. It's not the Bella etherealism, if that makes sense, of like everything should be kindness and beauty, love and purity.
Yeah.
You're right. It's grounded.
It's grit.
Yeah.
It's just like having the grit of like, no, I don't always know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not always easy. But the expectation that I would know what's going on at all times is an unreasonable one.
You can't expect that of me.
You can't expect that of anyone. Alarm bells go off for me now more and more when I hear someone that feels so decided on something where they're like, yeah, 100%, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like that should alert us of the opposite. It's like, no, there's always like, maybe this is right, maybe this is wrong, I don't know, but I'm going to try it this way and see how it goes.
Getting less and less certain as you get older is certain.
Yeah.
It almost is embarrassing, but I guess it's just like youthful folly to like look back on how steadfast you were on like certain issues or values or points or like beliefs.
Yeah.
And now you're just kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on. I mean, I was more like, I feel like impassioned and yeah, just sure at 23 than I am now.
Well, also at that age, it feels like there are only two possible paths in front of you.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I could go this way or I could go this way.
Right.
But then I think the older you get, it becomes clear you're just standing in an empty field. It's like, I could go anyway. I could literally go in any direction.
Yeah. And that's the hard thing about it.
Yeah.
I also think there's just such a feeling of like, you need to do things by a certain time or you need to have it all sorted by a certain age.
And I think 30 is often that age for everyone.
30 is that age.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, as long as I have it all figured out by 30, then we're all good.
Yeah. I mean, you, I'm sure, feel like that at the moment.
I'm not going to have it figured out by 30.
And you're like comfortable with
and
that.
And I'm comfortable with that.
Wow.
I think I'm setting myself free.
See, I definitely didn't feel that way. I was like, I need to have all my boxes ticked. It needs to be all the ducks in a line.
I think it's helped that I've had many friends do it like a year or two before me, where I'm like, will this help me in my next, you know, 600 days of life to put all the pressure I possibly can on those 600 days to like, I have to sort it all out. I don't think it will make them better. I think it will make them all worse. I think it'll make every day a little worse.
That's unbelievable foresight. Lord knows I didn't have it, or if I did, I chose to put the blinders on.
No, and I think I probably just extended it. Like, my deadline's maybe like 35 in my head. I don't even know really when the deadline is.
Yeah, it's funny. I have someone whose deadline was 35 and she met it.
Wow.
She met it. She said, I want to be in the best shape of my life. I want to be making the most money. I want to be like, I want my skin to be on 10. Like, she just had all these kind of moving targets. One by one, she knocked them all off.
Wow.
By her little 35 deadline.
It can be done.
It can be done. I don't know if it's the best thing for your mental health, but
no,
it can certainly be done. It can.
It can. It's also like about maintaining it. You know, it's like, okay, so it was a mad dash and you managed, but is the point now that you just like did it by then and then it all goes away? Or is it that you upkeep this like perfect standard for all of time forevermore? I don't know. It's hard. That would be very hard to do.
I mean, Gigi has managed to really stay above the fray in an unbelievable way. Going back to the Gal Gadot Israel-Palestine thing, I mean, those girls, those children are of Palestinian descent from Mohammed's side. And the grace that they have carried themselves with throughout their advocacy for this country, like prior to Gaza, they have just always kind of been on the right side of history with it and just using their platform for good.
And it's also not easy because that's not an opinion. That's not like, you know, I'm a feminist, sue me. It's like, here I am being so brave and coming out boldly as like a Democrat or a feminist. It's like, that is a position in our society that, you know, is scorned and judged in a way that is deeply unfair and just such like a, I don't know, like US war machine stance.
Did you see the, and I'm going to bleep the brand name, did you see her Rihanna's campaign?
Mm-hmm.
That's the brand that held that campaign for years because of Israel-Palestine.
God.
And like that must have been so frustrating.
Yeah.
As a
certainly.
Model.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I know. Do you want to interview her?
Circle back to
I know.
Yeah, I actually would.
Me too.
I actually really, I like her. I respect her. I've always been impressed by her.
Yeah.
Like, she's never been someone that I've like pasted to my wall. I don't feel like I like idolize her in that way. I actually don't follow her at all. I just have a lot of respect for her. I think she's cool. And I can't imagine what she's gone through with Zane. It's probably been a rough ride. When she says she's lived, you know, the life of her 30s and her 20s. I think that's where the headline is.
Yeah.
The many lives of Gigi Hadid.
I agree, totally.
Also, just to have a father who's just a famous modelizer, and for both you and your sister to become supermodels.
Crazy.
There's got to be something kind of like Oedipal about that. Like something kind of like some weird psychological like family thing. Like you just saw a rotation of beautiful blonde women coming through your household.
I know. One of them being your mom. Who is like famously like the most beautiful blonde woman, almond mom to the max.
Oh my God. For even for her to have an okay relationship with food.
I know. For her to be like, I like to cook. It's like, that's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
Good for you.
That you're okay with butter on the pan.
And it's almost interesting how these people with parental units that aren't necessarily, I don't know, I don't want to say healthy, but like, you know, that aren't maybe the best setup, go on to have children quite young. It's like they want to redo almost immediately.
Or is it just that they realize like my parents weren't perfect and I don't have to be either, so I'm not like waiting until I'm perfect to have kids.
Wow, that's a take that really sets you free, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's like no expectation here that I have to have everything figured out.
And we don't.
We don't. We certainly do not. And you know what, you listener, you may not either, and that's okay.
That's okay by
we
us.
Welcome you into our loving arms.
What you can figure out is a little subscribe to the Patreon.
That's easy. That's $4.
That's $4. And that is a bonus episode from us every week. You can hear us gab kind of unfiltered, uncensored. We get loose with it, baby.
Yeah.
Loose lips are keeping ships afloat at this stage.
It's so true.
And we just thank you. I just want to thank you again for all your support this past week. It has meant the absolute world. I love you, cherish you. It's just been so special to hear from all of you the way that you have lifted me up. I can't thank you enough.
Warms the cockles of our heart.
Truly. Have a gorgeous week and we'll see you next time.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
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 She's trying to keep it low.
Goodbye.
Low decibel. She's trying to calm down.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode. Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.